Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
Wow, you guys are on fire this morning. Right now, about, where are you? So if it's a little after 11 here, it's about 5 o'clock across the pond in England. In London, about spitting distance from Big Ben, a couple named Liz and Andrew are finishing up their Christmas dinner. This couple are priests in the Church of England, and the wife, Liz, she grew up in the East End of London and learned from her father, who was also a priest, the gift that it is to have a home that welcomes in waifs and strays for a meal, for a night, for weeks at a time. It's a gift that she and her husband and their two now grown children continue as a family. When it comes to Christmas and to kind of the Christmas meal, they never just cook for four. They don't even cook for kind of 6, 7, or 8 with a few selected people that they invite in the weeks running up. I actually texted their daughter right before the service and asked her, how many people have you got around your table this Christmas? And she said they have had 24 people with them at Christmas, most of whom they didn't know were coming. And they delivered 6 more meals to a family that weren't able to come, but weren't able to cook for themselves. They cook on their own, they don't cater in, they make it all themselves for this Christmas, 30 people, not knowing exactly who God will bring into church on Christmas morning to invite round for lunch. The wonderful chaos that results includes all kinds of personalities, all kinds of backstories, and makes for some bizarre and peculiar small talk. I've never made it to Christmas myself there, but I have been there at Easter and at other times and witnessed for myself Christian community doing what it does best: loving, welcoming, sharing food, and celebrating life together with people of all shapes and sizes who have nowhere to go. It's Christmas. Christmas is a wonderful time to celebrate, to spend time with others, to share special moments with loved ones, and to rejoice as we remember God's arrival into our world as a tiny, helpless newborn. And we might find that it's tempting in all that kind of excitement and in all the fun and the festivities. We might use that sometimes as a kind of a convenient way to escape from the bigger concerns in our lives and the world at large. As 2018 draws to a close, we face a tense time in political and in politics, both nationally and in the world, as tense a time as there has been in decades. We find deepening trenches and division, increasing uncertainty and stability. We face a world with a growing number of natural disasters that are leaving communities devastated and lives lost. Bear with me, it's not going to stay this dark forever. In Indonesia, last Saturday, a tsunami killed over 370 people and counting, which pushes the total lives lost to tsunamis and earthquakes in that one country to over 3,000 this year. I'm not going to go through the statistics on world poverty, because they're kind of frightening and a little overwhelming. These kinds of realities sometimes feel like a little too much to handle. Even when we look closer to home, to challenges that we face in our own lives, things that keep us up at night, mental health challenges, tricky relationships, problems at work, difficult decisions to make. It's going to get better from here on out, guys. Well over a decade ago, I spent 2 weeks in the dry, arid Australian outback with about 50 other young adults who were as adventure hungry and fearless and foolish as I was. Camping for 2 weeks in the outback introduced me to something I had never experienced before: utter darkness. For at night, when the flashlights were turned off and the burning embers of the fire had cooled down, it was as dark as I had ever seen it. Our human artificial means of finding our way through the darkness were turned off, and it was pitch black. except for one thing, or more like a million things. The sky. Looking up at the night sky, like many of us have experienced, was the glaze of a million stars. And it was glorious. I had no idea, being a girl that grew up in the city, that stars could shine so brightly. John's gospel says that what has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. It might not seem especially Christmassy to dwell on the more troublesome parts of our human existence, but it's when we're real about the darkness that we see the light for what it is. It's when we switch off our metaphorical flashlights and remind ourselves that the darkness is really dark, that the light shines so much brighter. The light that penetrates deep into the realities of darkness and exposes its secrets and reveals the truth. But this light that shines in the darkness is not a light that is a million miles away, like the stars in the night sky. Christmas is also when we're reminded that the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh, dwelled among us. That verb for dwelled here, it also means to pitch a tent, right, or to tabernacle. Like the God of the Exodus who journeyed with his people through the desert. God took on flesh and pitched a tent among us. He didn't leave us alone in the darkness like a star that stays in the sky. He joined in. In that 2 weeks that I spent in the Australian outback, I slept in on the label it said, a 1-to-2-man mountaineering tent. It was a gift and I was very excited to use it. But when it said to 1-to-2-man, it was kind of stretching the truth a little bit. It was a 1.5-man tent at best. Yet for that 2 weeks, a girlfriend of mine named Adrian, she and I pitched the tent and somehow managed to share it for the duration with no major arguments, even with the inevitable tossing and turning from sleeping rough. And it took us to a whole new level of friendship. Christmas reminds us that God pitched his tent and came and dwelled among us, with us, up close and personal. He came into this messy, chaotic world. He didn't just point out its flaws from afar. He became flesh so he could be with us. God with us, Emmanuel. The Word that was there in creation, the Word that through whom all life comes, the Word that is God himself, that Word took on flesh. Frail, human, corrupt, sinful flesh that is lost and fumbling around in the darkness. All of the world's pain and suffering, hardship and selfishness, none of that is new to God. It's exactly why, 2,000 years ago, as we celebrate today, that the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. Take the picture of Liz and her family who opened their home today and sit and eat with 20 other folk who they may have never met before, who they might find challenging or uncomfortable, or frankly, just a bit weird. That is what God has done with us. He has come near to be with us in the darkness, to shine his light into it. Nothing is hidden from him. Nothing is too much. So draw near to him today because he has drawn near to you. Pitch your tent with him and let him dwell in your hearts by faith through his Spirit. Merry Christmas. Amen.